We jumped right in there into the creation story. We've done the creation of the world before. I think we did that probably last year or probably the year before that, I think. So we jumped into the story a little bit, but I was going to say just a little bit of a recap. So I've got a couple of sweets here. So how long did it take God to create the world in this story? In this story? Yeah. So over the back. Yes. How many days? We did. Okay, do you want one of these? Yes, it was six. Yeah. The seventh day is a day of rest, I think. Yeah. No sweets for you. Okay, and he put into this garden, he put who? There are three characters in this story. Who are they? Who are they? There's three characters in this story. There's three characters. Oh, the Wheelers are here. Hi, guys. There's three characters in the story. Do you guys know? You know Lucy? Yes, okay, good. Top of the class. She can have a sweet, but I didn't know. I got to check. So who was in the story? Lucy, just one of them. Adam, here you go. Sorry, you missed that one. Who? Adam was there. Who else? Oh, come on, it should be the kids. And who's the last person or the last character? Yes, Maddie. Sorry? No, not yet. Just in the reading we had today, later. Yes, there was no serpent in that story, you just heard. No sweets. Yes, God, there you go, well done. Okay, there are three, so Adam, Eve, and God. Now, what we're going to look at today is God placed Adam and Eve in the garden, and he gave them four things. He gave them four things. Did you see four things? Did you see the All Black team last night counting how many players they had on the field? Oh, there's 15. There's four things, okay, that we have in this. Four things. The first thing that God gives us is, well, God gives Adam and Eve, and he also gives to us, is a very good place to belong. A very good place to belong, physically. Now, the garden, another word for garden, was paradise. He gave them this paradise. A place for us to belong is critically important. And we underestimate that, because there's a philosopher called Plato who separated the physical from the spiritual. But actually, a place for us to belong here on earth is really important. A home, a church. And now the other thing is he gave them a community. So there's Adam and Eve and there's God. They're a community. So we need one another. That old saying that no person is an island is very, very true. And a lot of what we do suffer from in this day and age is separation from one another in more ways than one. So that community, so it gives us a place to belong, which includes a place physically and a community. He gives a garden for Adam and Eve, and he gives them partners and God himself. Now, the third thing, he places Adam and Eve in the garden to do what? To work and take care of the garden. He gives them a job to do. The conclusion from this is simple. Work is good. All right? We need to hear that. Work is good. We are created to work. We are created to work. Guys, you go to school. Schoolwork is good. It's a bit shocking, isn't it? Look, if you go to Africa, you see kids, and you guys know about this, that will walk for half a day to get to school. And that's actually typical of most of the world. I don't know about PNG. But these kids want an education because they know it's important. School is good, believe it or not. Okay? And that's for the youth as well. High school. Even high school is good. All right? Like work. Working manually is good. Working with your brain is good. Organizing, counting, planning, measuring, lifting, shifting, cleaning, fixing, writing, meeting, achieving, accounting, helping mum and dad with the dishes and housework is good. Do you agree with that, mums and dads? Thank you. Oh, I definitely agree with you. You agree with that, Ruth? Oh, here we go. Celebrating our own achievements with work is good. It's a good thing to do because God created us that way. Work comes in many shapes and sizes. It is good. Even work when you retire, and I spoke to the 9 o'clock congregation about this. Retirement is good because retirement is actually, I don't think it's a word that exists in the Christian vocabulary. Because you're still called to do something and serve and volunteer, and lots of our 9 o'clockers do. And lots of you guys do in your spare time as well. And we really appreciate that. But finding what God is calling you to do and has given you to do in that garden is important for us, wherever that garden may be. Now, the other thing, 2:15 says, God put humankind in the garden to take care of the garden. Now, how many of you are gardeners? Not me. Lucy, you're a lawn maker. Does that count, Scott? Yeah. Rue is definitely a gardener. I'm not much of a gardener. I like to do the retaining walls. And then Rue fills it, well, and fill it up, and then Rue plants in there. So, we are here to take care of the garden, caring and shaping of the garden, where that garden may be, in your own workplace, in school, in church, in your homes. Those are gardens that we are called to take care of. So they can be welcoming, inviting, they can be good places to be. That's what we take from the story. Young folk here, youth and young kids, your mums and dads work hard to look after your home. Okay? They look hard to look after and provide you with a home, a place to live and to play and to work. Respect that home. And respect your parents for their caring for that and help them with that. I've got to give that message to my son when I get home. Don't we? Yes. Okay, so you young folk, respect your parents for that home they've created for you. We don't hear that enough. All right? We respect the home that our parents have made for us too, or did provide for us. But be aware, with the provision of this for us, there's a responsibility. So helping out around the house is important, okay? Boys, can you clean your own room, your bedroom? Can you pick up the things on the floor? That's novel, isn't it? Look after your own garden, guys and girls, because I know girls can do that as well, can't they? I know that from experience. Ruth used to do that. So we're trusted by God to take care of the garden. And through that caring, we grow ourselves. We grow emotionally and spiritually and socially. We grow through that responsibility, through taking it on. Now, so God provides a good place to belong, a very good place, and a job for us to do. We come to the final two things He provides. God provides, in the garden, He places two trees. What is the first tree called? What is the first tree? Yeah. It is a tree. What's the tree of? Tree of knowledge of good and evil. That's one tree. And there's the tree of life. All right, there's two trees. Now, we're not going to get fixated on the trees. Some people do. But it's quite simple what they mean to us. The tree of life is simply God's provision of everything, particularly food for Adam and Eve. God provides for all of our needs because He's the creator. It reminds me of that scripture with Jesus when he speaks on the mount. He says, don't worry what you shall eat or drink or wear. Look at the birds of the air. They don't fret, yet they get a good regular feed. Yeah? God provides for all of our needs. The tree of knowledge of good and evil. Now, this is the fourth and the last one. God gives us instructions of what not to do. Now, who here likes being told what to do or what not to do? Anyone? Lucy. You enjoy it. Oh, well done, Lucy. That's good. There might be a few of you who like being told what not to do. Look, I personally struggle with that. I'm not very good at it. That might come as a surprise to a few of you. Look, there was a story which sort of exemplifies, I think most of us struggle with being told what to do at times, probably even Lucy. I used to live in a place called Makuri, which means Dog Creek. It's over in the Wairarapa. And when I was about 7 years old, I was staying with a friend. It was a sleepover, and his dad was a farmer. They're all farmers out there. And we went out on his horse, on the back of his horse, me and David and his dad, and he dropped us on this little grove of trees. And he said, you should never do this. You never say this. Whatever you do, because he was going to go away and muster some sheep, he said, whatever you do, don't touch the traps. The gin traps, like possum traps. So the first thing I did was I went and knelt in front of the trap. David was there watching. He was watching me. I put my hand in it. Bang! Screamed. David was more upset than me, I think. Anyway, so his dad raced back on the horse and released my hand from the trap. It wasn't broken or anything, but I was very lucky. But there's something about being told, don't do something. It makes us do it. Theo did that with a peanut once. Don't ever put it up your nose. He put it up his nose. And his dad, who was a doctor, his granddad, had to get forceps to take it out. There's something about being told what not to do something that makes us want to do it. Yeah? Yeah. I think that's in all of us. We need to be trained to become obedient to the one who knows better than us. We need to be trained. There's a great bit of scripture from Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. I'm going to test match next Saturday. it's going to be cold, but there's going to be an atmosphere. When an amazing try is scored, and I'm sure there'll be one or two, you don't get as quite a good a view as you do from Sky TV. All right? Because Sky TV, they've got cameras on the sidelines, they've got cameras behind the goalposts, they've got cameras flying across the cake tin, the drones, and they've got the wires as well. So, and you get the analysis from the experts, and you get the replays. You don't quite get the same thing actually going to the game. Now, this is a bit like how God sees our lives, but even more so, because God sees all those dimensions, plus he sees the past, and he sees the future. His ways are higher than our ways. Therefore, it brings us life when we consider his ways and also his voice in our lives, what he's saying to us. So, think on this. My ways are higher than your ways when you're making any big decisions in life. And I speak particularly to the young people here, to the youth. When you're thinking about, okay, who am I going to go out with? Who am I going to marry? What am I going to do as a job or career? What am I going to train as? Where am I going to live? What country am I going to live in? God sees a bigger picture than what you see. So therefore, include him in making those decisions. I did that, and I ended up with Ruth. Well, lucky me. Lucky me. Actually, it's not luck. Because I was very prayerful about that. And it took a long time. But it's worth it. That's what I'm saying. Because God's ways are higher than our ways. So young people, when you're considering, you're coming to that stage of life and you're thinking, what do I do? Where do I go? What do I train? Include God in that conversation because He will bless you. There's no ifs or buts. He will bless you. And if you want to be blessed, include God in that conversation. Then there's also the small decisions. Like, I've got a little bit of a cold at the moment, so don't come too close to me. But I mean, last night I had a dip, it was yogurt, it wasn't ice cream, but it could be ice cream. I had a dip of ice cream, and then I thought, oh, I want some more of that. And then I stopped, because I knew I shouldn't double dip. Because that wouldn't be loving or caring for the rest of my family. One of them gave me the cold anyway, but it doesn't matter. But you get the idea. So these are little things, like mask wearing. Okay? It's caring for others around you. It's thinking about them. It's not about my own rights. It's not about my own rights. It's about thinking and caring about others. And that's how we should be as a community. So those little things are important. I'm just going to finish off. Jesus instructs his followers. He said, if you are faithful in the little things, you'll be faithful in the larger things. If you're dishonest with the small things, you'll be dishonest with the greater things. It's what Rue was talking about before, those little decisions and those big decisions. One leads to another. Be faithful, guys, in the little things, and then you'll be faithful in the big things. Young folk, take that on board. So in summary, God gives us, like Adam and Eve, a very good place to belong, a job to do, provision for all of our needs, and instructions about what not to do. Rue, I think, are there prayers now? Oh.